I'm not agreeing to a punishment.
Yeah, well, when I told you to stop digging your nails into me unless you wanted to get punished, you should have stopped.
You're not taking my virginity as punishment. I will never agree to that.
There's more than one kind of virginity. I'll take the other one.
It takes several beats for me to realize what he's talking about. Oh my God, no. My heart hammers in my chest and I shake my head. Have you done it before?
He smiles like the devil.
Sure.
Of course he has. With which one? Which girlfriend let you? I stare at his face, and the way he cocks his brow shocks me. More than one? No. He's telling the truth. Shane's not prone to exaggeration. In fact, quite the opposite. I don't like that he's been doing dirty things with others. But the realization reinforces everything I've always thought about him. In high school, Shane was worldly in ways other boys weren't. And that's only intensified in the past 2 years. I glance at the box. He knows exactly which door to knock on to get a faux animal tail on a Friday night. Turning a girl into a pornographic catwoman is apparently par for the course with him. And whatever he does to me in bed will be something he knows how to do. The way he spanked me comes rushing back. Not his first time. Not some random instinct he decided to indulge in. Shane knows exactly how to punish a woman to make her hurt and make her wet at the same time. It's very compelling. Especially for someone like me who knows very little about sex, but wants to. Right now, he's calm and patient, reminding me again of a predator watching his prey. A shiver runs down my spine, from the nape of my neck to my tailbone. Don't, I think, trying not to get caught in the erotic web he's spinning. I'm not supposed to be prey that's stalked and hunted. That's something I'm railing against in Casanova's case. And yet, everything is different where my stepbrother's concerned. He didn't kidnap me. I chose to be here, albeit under duress. And I'm still choosing it. For a reason other than fear. As Shane takes his shirt off, I can't drag my gaze away. He's so gorgeous. So strong. It makes me want to touch him. I swallow against a suddenly dry throat.
Come over here, Eve. Let me unzip your dress for you.
I rise from the bed, but stand next to it. I need to ask you a question.
What's that?
Would this be between us? Our secret?
Yeah. I don't talk about my sex life.
Not even to Declan?
Declan and I are way past the point of comparing notes, Avery. It's none of Declan's business what I do to you in bed. I take a step forward, but my progress falters when he adds, but there's something we need to get straight.
Yes?
If you want to keep our relationship a secret, so you'll seem available to Declan or anyone else, you can forget it. While you're living here, the only person you can have any kind of sex with is me.
I blink and then stare at him.
I wasn't planning to go from being a virgin to sleeping with a bunch of guys.
Good.
As long as you understand the rules. And you? Same rules? I'm the only one you'll be with while I live here?
He nods and beckons me to him. As I move closer, I draw in a shallow breath and release it. When I'm standing in front of him, I admit, I'm nervous. My fingers tremble as I press them against his hard abs.
Anyone would be.
So much has happened, I think.
Don't think, he says,
winding my hair around his hand and pulling my head back. His mouth claims mine in an all-consuming kiss that sets me on fire.
It takes a moment for me to remember my name, let alone my line in the sand.
Jerking back, I shake my head. No kissing.
You're still trying to make that stick? After dragging a breath into my lungs, I say, yes, still, no kissing.
But the way we do it,
a kiss doesn't get any better than that, he murmurs, making me smile despite myself. His lips graze my temple as I attempt to take a step back. My retreat fails because his hold is too strong.
You're not gonna escape, baby.
His voice is husky, driving lust into my pussy like a warm, thick lance. My hands grip his sides, fingering his hot skin and broad muscles.
There's a word I haven't used before now because deep down, your body already knows. But it's time to attach the label so you can stop fighting for control you're never gonna have.
He kisses my ear before leaning back to look me in the eye.
In the bedroom and elsewhere, I'm dominant.
I blink up at him blankly, and the corner of his mouth curves, so fucking innocent. His tone is soft and amused. The hardness slowly creeps back into his voice when he speaks again.
It means that in bed, you'll submit to my will.
My eyes widen as his meaning begins to dawn. Are you saying I won't have a choice?
You can set limits. But within those limits, the way I use your body is up to me.
Shane seems deadly serious. Between his sheets, I'll be a sex toy in every sense of the word. And not just because of our temporary arrangement. Exerting control is part of who he is. Without giving me time to object, he reaches behind me and unzips my dress. His lips brush my neck as he lowers the straps. The bra falls with it, exposing me to the waist. His gaze burns as he looks at me.
Fuller than they were.
His left palm cups my breast, and the sensation sends lightning bolts of need through me.
Still so beautiful.
Suddenly, all the things we need to sort out melt away. Later. All of that can wait until later. He picks me up, carrying me to the bed. I love the feel of his body when he moves. He sits on the edge and sets me on his lap facing him, so my knees are pressed against his sides.
Are your nipples sensitive?
He bends his head and captures one in his mouth, sucking. My head falls back with a gasp, and my hips circle so I'm pressing against his erection. It feels amazing. He switches sides as I grind against his lap, suddenly frantic with lust. Tell me the truth. His voice is low and husky.
2 years ago, did you strip out of your clothes and lie on that couch on purpose? To see if you could tempt me into action? So I'd make you mine?
His whispers are rough against my skin. I don't know. I can't remember what I did, let alone why I did it. With a small twist of his body, he repositions us so I'm lying on my back with him above me.
That night wasn't the first time you came downstairs looking for me. You did that all the time.
His big hands pin my wrists above my head as he licks my nipples.
You sought me out in a place where we'd be alone. Deep down, you knew you were looking for more than conversation.
I pull at my arms, testing his hold. His grip tightens, and freedom becomes an impossibility, which is a relief. Looking into my eyes, he shakes his head.
It's better that I didn't find you until morning. Your body wasn't ready to be used by a man the way I want to use it.
He kisses me, sucking slowly on my tongue until I writhe.
You're not too young now, though. Over 18 is fair game for any game I want to play.
My belly clenches, and my aching nipples bead. He finishes unzipping the dress and jerks the billowing fabric down, practically ripping it as he does. Shane, I gasp. The chiffon cloud lands in a mound on the floor, and he flips me onto my stomach, driving the breath from my lungs.
I start to rise up onto my palms, but a hand between my shoulder blades pushes me back onto the mattress.
Lie still. When it's time to move, I'll tell you.
My body convulses, sinking into a twisted place of fear and excitement. He climbs from the bed and goes to his nightstand, where he takes out a condom and a small black device. After he drops them on the bed, he unbuckles his belt and slides it free. The belt falls onto the bed in a coil, like a sinister leather snake. It holds the promise of a different kind of punishment if I don't submit. Chapter 17. Avery. It's difficult to catch my breath. Lying face down on the bed, my thighs pressed together. I'm close to coming just from listening to his rough, ruthless voice. After Shane sheds his clothes, he rolls the condom over his cock, which looks huge. I lick my lips, and then bite the tip of my finger, watching him. Pillows are stacked in the middle of the bed, a sexy and sinister pyramid.
Pillows under your hips, chest and face on the mattress.
My heart hammers like I'm running sprints. A part of me does want to run. Another part wants to know what every kind of sex with Shane is like.
Need some help, Avery?
No. I rise onto my hands and knees and move into position. Almost as soon as I lower myself onto the pillows, a wave of fear and embarrassment hits me. Lying with my ass in the air, waiting for a taboo kind of sex, causes my face to flame. This isn't the sort of thing I ever thought about doing. Shane puts a hand on my lower back, rubbing slowly, pressing me down against the pillows. Then he eases my underwear down and off, exposing me and making me breathlessly excited. Sliding a finger between my lower lips, he husks,
"So wet. Let's get you that way everywhere."
Something icy and slick drizzles between my ass cheeks. My hips twist. A hum fills the air, and my gaze searches over my shoulder for its source.
"Fingertip vibrator," he says,
holding up his index finger to show me the dark gray device that covers the tip.
"Put your head down, kitten, and close your eyes for me."
My teeth snag my lip and bite it. Then, slowly, I turn my head and lower it, letting my lids fall, plunging me into darkness. The vibrator slides into position, buzzing against my clit. "Oh my God," I whisper, exhaling. The sensation's intensely good. A different finger rubs the slippery lubricant around my ring and sinks its tip inside. I moan, because it feels wildly erotic to have it there, teasing me. I raise my hips, and his whole digit presses into me. A hunger like no other grips me. My fingernails scratch the comforter.
"Knees farther apart. I want you open."
I reposition my legs, spreading wide for him. The buzz of the vibrator makes my insides hum and clench. The back finger withdraws, and my moan gives way to a whimper.
Being penetrated there feels good, huh?
He bites the flesh of my ass, making it ache and throb until I squirm and try to escape. A sharp slap on the other cheek drives my belly down into the pillows. Above me, he slides his cock between my cheeks, stroking himself in the channel. His arm slides under my hip, so his vibrator finger can tease my throbbing clit as I ride the hand beneath me. Arousal creams my lower lips as I burn with need. "God," I groan. My hips press down, trying to help my pussy grind against his hand. I almost want...
"What, baby?"
"Don't do it. But I really want to feel you inside me. In front."
Eventually.
His breath ruffles my hair, and I quake, halfway to orgasm already. more slippery fluid pools onto my little ring. And then his cock is there, rubbing and pressing. The broadhead pushes into me, stretching me suddenly around it. Oh, my body goes rigid, the pain like a lance. No, oh, I try to lurch forward. But he seems to know what I'll do. One hand grabs my shoulder, anchoring me in place. His other arm tightens against my belly, his fingers cupping between my legs. There's no way to escape even an inch. Shane, please stop, please. I whimper. Relax, he whispers. Don't clench. Just stay still for me. His thumb strokes my shoulder, and he licks and kisses my shoulder blade, sending warmth through my back into my chest, even as a terrible ache radiates through my pelvis. My staccato breath ruffles the sheets. It's too much, I groan. The piercing pain eases, but the feeling of being dangerously stretched remains. The burning pain making me afraid to move, or even to breathe too hard. I'm like a rubber band pulled taut and on the edge of snapping. Please, listen to me. His voice is low but stern. It's intense, but you'll like it. How do you know? I just do. My mind can't work out whether he's just trying to convince me so he can use me the way he wants, or whether he's telling the truth. I'm scared. I know. He adds more lubricant to where we're joined, rocking his hips. Feeling him move inside me is agonizing, but also compelling. His legs push mine farther apart, and he activates the vibrator against my clit again. I cry out when I try to move, the friction of his cock inside me sending sharp pulses of pain, mixed with sharp pulses of arousal. The sensations connect with each other in the most exquisite way. Shane's hips move against my backside, driving his cock deeper. Having him buried inside me creates a pressure which rubs against the wall that's being seduced on the other side. I'm helpless. And completely his. He pulls back and thrusts again. A high-pitched cry escapes my throat. But the sensation of being impaled rips through me at the same moment an orgasm is triggered by his finger. Fuck, he groans. So tight. It feels good when you clench around me as you come. The thrusts begin slowly but are mercilessly deep. His strong hips pound against my soft, spread ass, the rhythm ruthless and gaining momentum. My hands strangle the sheets, and my cries grow ragged, begging him to slow. He's not rough, but his body has demands it forces mine to fulfill. It's punishment and possession, pleasure and pain, perfect and perverse. I spasm around him, my core clutching and relaxing rhythmically as I shriek into the mattress. He pumps in and out, his need for release like a snake coiling in my belly, sinking its fangs into me. It's so painful, but also maddeningly enthralling. And somehow exactly what I crave. When the aftershocks of my orgasm fade, he's found his rhythm. A part of me desperately wants to escape, but that's impossible. Concentrating on the way it feels to have him surging into me, I try to hold on. He lurches forward, lowering his body on top of mine. His forearms slide under me, one across my throat, the other beneath my breasts. I'm trapped and so, so helpless. My whimpers and cries are involuntary, almost animal. His movements are instinctive too. His hips grind against the delicate cushion of my ass as he drives into me. His arms squeeze me so tight, I can't breathe. For a moment, it's like having a great python wrapped around me. I'm slowly being crushed. My clit rubs against the pillow, also trapped and excruciatingly sensitive. Another wave of arousal hits me, making me dizzy. I gasp for breath. His hips jerk over and over in hard pulses as he groans and curses. His cock surges deep and throbs within me. Fuck. The jerking thrusts hurt, but also intensify the surreal sensuality of being taken this way. I'm desperate for breath as the world falls away. Shane's grip loosens. I feel shattered and lightheaded, drenched in sweat that's both mine and his. My muscles shake and twitch, so spent they don't work properly.
Baby, you are unbelievable.
He pulls his arms free and leans his face against the side of mine, kissing me as he pulls out. It's over. The cool air chills my skin as he retreats. He climbs from the bed, leaving me before I'm ready. I shift, falling off the pillows and burying my face in my forearms. My eyes brim with tears that spill silently over my lashes. Shock has me in its grip. The pain is still there, hidden and aching. But the emptiness isn't better. My tiny hole feels sore and soft and swollen, and also very well used by the hard cock I find so delicious. This orgasm was like nothing I've felt before. More soul-shattering and raw than when he used his mouth. More intense, in fact, than anything ever. The bed sinks from his weight when he returns. "Hey," Shane whispers, stroking my hair in the back of my neck. "Look at me." The directive falls on deaf ears. I've started shivering and can't seem to stop. Communication is beyond me right now. "Avery." He slides his arms around me and drags me to him. So my body's pressed to his side, my face and arms tucked against his chest and under his arm. Blankets are pulled into place, burying us in a warm cocoon. My shivering eases. "Baby, you all right?" There's gentleness in his voice I've never heard before. Tension seeps slowly out of me. "I think so." "Do you want something to drink? Water?" His weight shifts, like he'll disappear again. My grip on his chest turns fierce. "No. Stay here." "I'm not leaving." He kisses the top of my head. And then kisses it again. "You were brave to trust me to do that to you." His slow caress of my lower back is soothing. "It shouldn't surprise me. When we're alone, you always trust me." His voice grows even softer. "I miss that. For 2 years. His hand cups the back of my head and strokes my hair like he's petting me. Like a kitten. Like his kitten.
Shane. At 2 in the morning, I wake. I'm alone, which is every kind of wrong. The thought that Avery might have left the house makes me roll out of bed, my feet hitting the rug with purpose. I stalk down the hall, and as I pass the guest bathroom, the scent of shampoo and bath gel is strong. That's promising, since if she took a long bath, she's probably still here. In the guest room, Avery's safe and asleep, her hair still damp and smelling like coconut shampoo. My bed's the more comfortable of the two, so I scoop her up and carry her back down the hall. She's wearing a t-shirt and yoga pants that are almost as soft as her skin. When I set her back in the bed, she stirs. I climb in as she rolls onto her side away from me. "Go to sleep," I say, spooning her with my nose practically against her scalp. I guess I drift off because the next time I'm awake, her hands are pushing back against my ribs. I'm hot, and my cock's pressed against her ass until she scoots to the edge of the bed to escape. I draw in a slow breath and look at the clock. 3:30. "Come back," I say, my arm snaking around her waist. I tug her to me. She puts her hands back to create a barrier between us right where my cock is trying to nestle into the crevice between her ass cheeks. Her hands literally cock-block me, which makes me smile. I roll onto my back, so the only part of me that's touching her is the arm that's under her neck. She rolls onto her other side to face me, and possibly to protect her ass from another invasion. My cock gets hard on and off all night. I'm not expecting you to do anything about it. It'll go down on its own. It's not like that because I'm here. So innocent. Mostly. Your being here definitely makes my cock hard on the regular. But you didn't cause this one. My eyes close. I feel her sit up. The warmth of her skin against my arm suddenly gone. If you're thinking of leaving my bed, you're wasting your time. I'll just carry you back again.
Why?
She whispers. That's a decent question, but I'm too tired to get into the answer. Come on, Ave. Lie back down and go to sleep. Her cool hand comes to rest on my face. I kiss her palm, eyes still closed.
Why are you really doing this?
Her voice is almost inaudible. Doing what? I mumble. Trying to get my eyes open since we're clearly not done talking. When I finally get my lids up, I find her sapphire eyes staring at me. What?
I can't. Shane.
What can't you do? Sleep still hasn't let me out of its grasp, and her lingering touch on my cheek isn't helping me think straight. Sleep in the same bed with me?
Yes.
Her expression is grave as she pulls her hand back, crossing it over her chest to grab her upper arm. A defensive position if I ever saw one. Trouble is, her arm also does wonderful things for her breasts, pushing them up and stealing my attention. Can we have this fight after sunrise? I don't want to have this fight at all, but if I can push it back until we've both slept, I'll handle myself and her better.
Does it have to be a fight?
Her glossy hair falls forward, hiding her face.
I've drifted into the deep end of the pool. I don't like being in over my head.
That gives me pause. I may be a man who's half asleep, but in this bed, it's my responsibility to take care of her. Especially tonight. Because of the kind of sex we had. Her teeth catch her lower lip again, biting down. Don't tell me you didn't enjoy it. Under the sheet, I nudge her with my knee. You came twice with me inside you. Her face flushes, and she looks away.
Yeah. Scary.
Burrowing her toes into the covers. She shivers.
If I get too close to you, when you cut me out of your life, it could derail me.
When I cut her out, that's a certainty. What do you want me to promise, Avery? That we'll always be friends?
No.
Her brows pinch together skeptically.
Look, I went to the guest room, my room. Why am I back here?
I wanted you in my bed. All night.
So unfair.
Rubbing my eyes, I draw in a breath. Come on. It's no accident you sought me out and gave in so easily to a bullshit proposal like sucking my dick for a place to stay. You want this too. You're here to play out some Beauty and the Beast fantasy with me, and I'm here for it. Her brows rise.
Beauty and the Beast.
Sure. She's innocent. He's angry. She enters his house voluntarily, gets trapped, has to submit to his rule. That's us right now. My hand reaches out and fingers a silky strand of her hair.
This isn't a fairy tale. I'm not your captive, Shane.
No. Try to go. My hand catches her wrist and tightens around it. She slaps my arm.
Don't play.
I'm not playing. But I don't say so. Instead, I continue to grip her wrist as I ask, you don't like the analogy?
No.
Liar. I smile. Ask yourself this, baby. Who does the beast belong to? Deep blue eyes bore into me.
Beauty?
I watch her for a moment
and nod. A small smile threatens to emerge, but she manages to suppress it. You're not going to tame me, Avery. But don't assume you're going to lose me either, for better or for worse. Right now, we own each other. Own, she repeats with a grimace. I call it as I see it. Sighing, she runs her fingers over my throat. I feel every fucking touch from her down to my bones, like pain and its cure at once. I stroke her hair and pull until she's lying next to me. When we're curled up together under the covers, I start to drift off. She whispers something I don't catch, causing me to mumble, "We'll talk in the morning." A loud alert sounds on my phone, for fuck's sake. Storm warning. At the second blast, I roll toward the nightstand and lift my cell. Two words flash. Perimeter alarm. I tap the camera feed. Sometimes a raccoon climbs up the house and sets it off. My eyes narrow, focusing on what's moving. It's no animal. A shadowy figure, a man, carries something toward the house. Intruder. Chapter 18. Shane. My body jerks into action, sitting bolt upright and launching itself from the bed. What's wrong? Avery asks, sitting up. Someone's on the property. I yank on jeans and grab my gun from the nightstand. Stay here. Flying down the steps and dotting out the side door, I'm confronted by the cold night. When I round the house, the smell of gasoline hits me. The guy's splashing gas from a can on my house. When the sound of my footfalls alerts him to my presence, he drops the can and bolts. I chase him, stopping short of the fence as he starts over. I take aim and fire. His body jerks from my shot, and he falls into the neighbor's yard. But before I can advance, my shadow flashes on the fence, illuminated from a light behind me, spinning. Gun up, my eyes burn from the flames licking at the bricks of my house, motherfucker. And Avery's inside. I sprint to the house and turn on the hose. Spraying down the bricks and grass continuously dampens the flames but costs me time. I don't know how bad the asshole's hit. He may get away. Flames out, I curse in frustration. I head toward the fence, pulling my gun again. Shane! Avery calls from the side of the house. Jesus. Avery came outside while things were burning and while my gun was drawn. Worse is that I didn't realize. I engage the gun's safety and tuck it away, circling to her. Get back in the house, baby, I say, careful to keep my voice level as I jog over to her and yank the side door open. She precedes me inside, but I stalk into the kitchen right behind her. I'll be right back, I promise as I grab a flashlight from a drawer. Back outside and shining the light, I survey the property. There's black soot on the bricks, but the structure looks intact. I walk to the fence and climb up. Scanning the neighbor's yard as I sweep the column of light over it, I don't see a body. I'm pretty sure I hit him, but there's no sign of it. At first light, I'll go over the fence to see if I can find a blood trail. He wore black clothing, including a hoodie and some kind of Halloween mask on his face. Seemed to be average height and lean, fast on his feet. I interrupted the son of a bitch as he was pouring gas in a circle around the house. It would have left us with no way out. When I go inside again, Avery stands in the bright kitchen where she's turned on all the lights. I smelled smoke outside? Yeah. A guy tried to light the house on fire. She sucks in a startled breath, her eyes darting around the room. I don't understand. How could he know I'm staying in this house? Do you think he followed me the entire way from campus? Maybe. Or he could have seen us at the Lambda Delta party, or heard rumors that we're dating. My address is known. When I first bought the place, I had a couple of parties here. Or maybe you weren't the target tonight. We don't know for sure it was Casanova. I didn't see any roses. Even if it was him, he could have just wanted to kill me. I'm the one who's standing in his way now. If he's willing to burn the house down, we're not safe here. Did the house burn down? I counter gently, shaking my head. That's what the security system is for. The house's perimeter has motion-activated lights and cameras. An alert sounds on my phone when something triggers them to come on. I chased him over the fence. probably could have gone after him and caught him, but I had to come back to deal with the fire he started. When the sun comes up, I'll canvass the neighborhood. How will you do that? Shivering, I glance around for a towel. The blowback from the hose got me, and I'm wet and cold as hell. Avery notices and steps forward, touching my bare chest. Her grimace deepens. God, your skin is freezing cold, Shane. Her hands rub my arms, trying to warm me. The worry she directs my way is sweet, and it hits me in all the ways. Her hands pause. Go upstairs and put on dry clothes. Okay? Yeah. I need to. Taking her hand, I guide her toward the stairs with me. I can't believe this is happening, she murmurs. Should we call the police? No. Not yet. Cops snooping around my house is the last thing I want. In my room, I open a dresser drawer and find a Granthorpe sweatshirt. Putting it on helps. As the adrenaline wears off, my temperature's dropping. Crossing the room, I look out the window. No movement in the yard. All quiet. Behind me, Avery's pacing. I turn to look at her. Need something to do, babe? Please, go downstairs and put on a pot of coffee. Neither of us is going back to bed anyway. Okay. When she doesn't leave the room, my head cocks. Her voice is steady, but her brows pinch together with worry. She blows out a long breath. Sorry, I need a minute. Someone set the house on fire. Her teeth sink into her lower lip. She's rattled. Anyone would be. I cross the room instantly and pull her against me in a tight hug. Hey, everything's fine. I've got you, baby. Promise.
Avery. I'm not okay. Thick storm clouds choke the sky, cloaking the neighborhood in darkness even after dawn. When it starts to rain, Shane scowls and murmurs a curse. Then, he grabs his flashlight and heads outside anyway. There's a gas can on its side on the lawn near the house. He uses the flashlight to lift it so he doesn't smudge any fingerprints that may be on it. After putting it in the garage, he walks around the lawn and looks into the yard behind his. I trail after him, watching him scan the grass. What are you looking for? Clues, he deadpans. Seriously, though. Did you see him drop something as he ran away? Just the gas can, but you never know. Shane hops the fence and walks through his neighbor's yard all the way to the gate. After what seems like a thorough sweep, he returns. I'm going to talk to some of the neighbors. You don't need to come. Go inside and get warm, Eve. I want to come, I say. Convinced there are things I can learn from watching what he does. About my getting a gun. He scowls at the horizon. Listen to me, he says, his voice low and impatient. Problem number one with your plan is the fact that you don't know how to use a gun, and are therefore more likely to have it taken away from you than to defend yourself successfully. The second problem is that it won't do you any good to have a gun in your purse if Casanova tries to grab you. When he does it, he doesn't even leave the girl time to scream, let alone to go digging through her purse. The evidence does suggest that Casanova is stealthy. Maybe I'll wear my purse across my body and keep my hand inside on the gun while I walk across campus. How do you carry a gun? Do you wear a holster? I don't carry on campus. That's problem number three. It's illegal to carry firearms on school property. And if the school catches anyone carrying concealed, it leads to expulsion and criminal charges. You're not armed at school? So if there was a school shooter? I'd have to go to my car, get my gun, and double back. Or I'd have to take him down another way. It would depend on the situation. But if Casanova snuck up on you alone? Look, if someone's going to come after me, it won't be by trying to grab me from behind while I'm walking across the quad. It'll be by doing something like the fire last night. Or just walking up and shooting me in the back of the head. He won't be trying to capture me. He'll be trying to kill me. And good luck to him on his approach. Any warning, any hesitation will mean he's the one who's dead. You're a different type of target, baby. If someone comes after you, the motive will be sexual. And I promise you, this guy Casanova is smooth. I think he gets in close somehow before the girl knows she's in trouble. Maybe he even lures her to him or has someone else lure her. You've given this some thought, of course. I'm your bodyguard. I only asked for a place to stay, I say, quickly and a little defensively. I never asked you to be my bodyguard, if you say so. Shane's tone is casually dismissive, but his expression isn't annoyed or impatient. He volunteered to drive me to campus and back, and he's never seemed put out over having to do it. If anything, I think he likes having me rely on him for protection, since it means he can push for things he wants as payment. What about a knife? It's not against Granthorpe rules to have one of those, right? And if there was duct tape to cut or whatever, it could be useful. He pauses, and his head tilts back and forth as he weighs this. Easier to have that at the ready in a pocket, he concedes. But you've got to be within arm's length to use it. And again, if you pull it out to defend yourself, you have to be ready and able to kill with it. Otherwise, he could use it against you. The thing about all this is that you never know how you'll react in a real situation. I've seen big guys, ones who seem tough as nails, go into a ring to fight, and after they take a few hits, they just fold. You feel me? If you pull a knife and then hesitate, it's more dangerous than being unarmed. If I come face to face with Casanova and he's trying to abduct me, I will not hesitate. You say that, baby. But until the fear and adrenaline hit you, you don't know what you'll do. I'll tell you what. I'll continue to play bodyguard till the end of the semester. If they don't catch him before you decide to come back to campus next term, we'll do some weapons training. Okay. Yes, good. I smile. Thank you. He frowns. Don't thank me yet. I doubt you'll like training with me. It won't be fun and games. I will show you your limitations. His voice grows more grim. If I'm not 100% convinced you can handle yourself, I won't let you carry anything. You can just do class virtually next semester or come back for another round in my place. Probably virtual then. My staying with you as a sex slave you get to punish is very much temporary. That causes him to smile wickedly. Yeah, because you hate it so much when you come all over my fingers or against my mouth. Or with my cock buried in your ass. A small gasp escapes, and my face heats, but I manage a scowl. So crude. You never showed me this side of you before. We weren't having sex before. I open my mouth to say we're not really having sex now, but of course we are. I originally wasn't counting my performing oral sex on him as a type of sex that truly involved me. In my mind, I saw it as separate. But when he started touching me back, things changed. And being brought to orgasm, being called baby, and definitely sleeping in the same bed is much more personal. Spending time parsing out my complicated feelings doesn't seem useful at the moment. Instead, I silently join him as he goes up and down the street. When Shane spots a house where the lights have been turned on, he knocks on the door. Once someone answers, he tells them about the arson attempt and asks if they have any street-facing cameras or if they've seen any strangers walking up and down the block or acting suspicious. I'm surprised at his tone, which is more conciliatory than I've ever heard it. He's friendly. He's charming. He encourages them to forward the footage from their security cameras to him. People are concerned, acknowledging that, as Shane points out, a fire at one house could spread to others. His neighbors with cameras promise to look at their clips. Shane gives out his cell number to every person we talk to. After 12 households, he announces we're done for the morning. As we walk back to his place, I say, "Are you sure this was a good idea? What if the strangers on the clips include men delivering things to your house in the middle of the night?" His gaze cuts to me. His expression, suspicious. "What men?" I've outed myself as a witness to Eric Sorensen's 3 in the morning delivery. I thought I heard people in the house one night.
bringing in boxes? Could have been a dream. A frown tugs at the corners of my mouth. Keeping secrets is one thing. Lying and gaslighting is something worse. No, Shane, not a dream. Avery, we talked about this. Unlocking his front door, he pulls it open for me. About what? You digging into things that aren't your business. He closes the door behind us and flicks on the living room's recessed lights. I'm living here right now, so it is kind of my business. His palm connects with my ass in a light swat, causing me to suck in a startled breath. Behave yourself, kitten. My nipples tighten at his use of that pet name, which only makes me more annoyed. My eyes narrow and my frown deepens. Cut it out. I can't help it if I'm a light sleeper. No. But you can help whether you ask questions. Don't be a hypocrite. He goes still, his expression darkening. Come again. Standing up straighter, I look him in the eye. 1 minute you act like we belong together, like fairy tale characters. The next, I'm an interloper in your house, who it's okay to lie to. Make up your mind. This is either a temporary situation or I'm your girlfriend. You don't get to change the dynamic whenever it suits you. His scowl deepens. Don't act like you want to go back to when the only thing I did was order you to your knees. That's not how you want to be treated, and we both know it. I wouldn't like it, no. But I also don't like being lied to or kept in the dark. Even if you were my girlfriend, there are things I wouldn't talk about. Not just for my own sake, for yours too. My face clouds. Things are so murky because of his criminal connections. I want him to trust me enough to confide in me. But maybe there are things I'm better off not knowing. Though how can I be involved with someone I don't really know? That's not a real relationship. Shane walks into the kitchen, leaving us at an impasse. So stubborn. And so heartbreakingly skilled at staying out of reach. From the living room, I text my mom to say I'm not sure I can make it for brunch. She texts back, very insistent. Mom says they'll come to Granthorpe, which I don't want. So I relent. I tell her Shane will be with me. It's obvious by her reply that she's not anxious to see him. Mom reiterates that I don't need to rely on Shane for transportation. And I remind her I want her to be nice to him. I add that I'm much safer spending time with him than spending time alone on campus, and that I hope she won't do anything to jeopardize my safety. Since she's so protective, I'm sure that tactic will work as well as anything could. Chapter 19. Avery. When I come downstairs to leave for brunch, Shane's wearing a button-down shirt and modern dark gray sport coat with jeans. As is often the case, his style is the perfect marriage of casual and rich. In a sharply tailored burgundy and ivory dress, I'm dressed more for a business meeting than a breezy brunch, but it's the only dress other than the blue one that I have on campus. His gaze takes me in, pausing at a thin gold chain that circles my left ankle. It's a string of small X's and O's, and was a Valentine's gift from my mom. Her favorite way of saying I love you is with presents. After I step down onto the landing, I smooth the fabric of my skirt, which rode up my thighs on the descent. It's great that we're doing this. They're excited to see us. Shane doesn't roll his eyes, but he comes close. Sure. Hey, if they do anything that starts to make the conversation awkward, let me handle it, okay? I'll try to smooth it over. He gives me a sideways glance as he opens the front door and ushers me out. I don't need you to run interference, Avery. If they're cool, I will be too. Otherwise, I'm gone. The mood has been tense between us since I called him out over his lies. Now add in our parents, and this may be the shortest brunch in history. On the drive, he glances more than once at my bare legs, but he doesn't touch me. So what's the deal with dressing up? He asks, running his hand over the top of the steering wheel. You are dressed to dinner at my grandfather's house and you're wearing one now. What was the problem at the Platinum Party? I stiffen, resting my hands on my knees. A quick glance at his profile reveals his eyes are fixed on the road. That kind of elaborate staging of myself reminds me of beauty pageant prep. A road sign announces we're 12 miles from Boston. Almost there. My last pageant was a dumpster fire. They say it's a mild to moderate case of PTSD. It makes events that require formal wear difficult. My tongue darts out to moisten my dry lips. Just thinking about the triggers make me cringe. Why the hell did Sherry force you into doing those? My mom didn't force me. She'd won a lot of prizes and scholarship money in pageants. She wanted that for me too. But when I couldn't do it anymore, she let me stop. What made the last one a dumpster fire? I grimace and watch the trees outside my window whip by. Just a bad scene with my bio dad. My parents fought about everything, but he'd never directed his anger at me before. I don't think he meant to that day either, but he was looking at me while he was yelling. It felt like Mom and I were both at fault. Shane's angry scowl and the look in his eyes are dangerous. I recognize the expression from the night he put Todd and Daniel in their place for threatening me. You were a little girl, Avery. 6, right? Nothing was your fault. No, I know. But logic isn't an effective shield. What did he say, specifically? My throat grows tight and my eyes burn. Nothing I care to repeat. I realize my hands are crumpling the fabric of my hem and release it. I couldn't tell you even if I wanted to. I was 6. The memories are just fragments of rage and disappointment. I draw in a breath through pursed lips. So, yeah, that was heartbreaking. And right afterward, he took an out-of-state job. So I never saw him in person again.
He didn't even come to say goodbye?
No. After that incident, my mom sued for full custody and tried to file a restraining order, so he just washed his hands of us. Shane's eyes are still on the road, but they narrow to slits.
Parents are immature assholes sometimes. They should really grow the fuck up before they have kids.
His thumb taps the steering wheel.
I'm sorry that happened to you, and that you felt compelled to make yourself up like a pageant queen for the frat party.
He shakes his head, and I can tell he's angry now with himself.
I'll never put pressure on you to look a certain way again. You have my word.
I love that he understands. He's unflappable, so I didn't expect him to be able to. In some ways, Shane really is perfect for me. Pulling slack into the seatbelt, I lean over to kiss his cheek. Fortunately, I catch myself in time and stop before I do. Christ. No kissing. You accused him of being a hypocrite. Don't be one yourself. Leaning back into my seat, I say softly, thank you for understanding. And if you expect this brunch to work, Avery, you'd better not act as if you're at a funeral. Get your game face on. Injecting a little sass into my voice, I say, that's quite a sacrifice you're offering to make. I'm surprised.
You overestimate the value I put on beaded gowns and fake eyelashes, Avery. You're at your most beautiful without makeup. Right out of the shower or in my bed completely naked. That's what I'd have a hard time giving up.
Heat washes over me. The ball gown and pageant makeup weren't actually what I meant. Wouldn't it be a sacrifice to refrain from making impromptu spa appointments to have your little pet waxed? His head cocks, and he glances over at me with a small smirk.
Hang on. Don't conflate getting your pussy waxed with putting on false eyelashes for a frat party. Those don't belong in the same category of grooming.
My laughter is partly from amusement and partly from relief that I've been able to insert a little levity into our difficult morning. If there's a loophole, you'll find it, huh? Pretty much. His tone is remorseless, which in the moment actually feels reassuring. For better or for worse, Shane is decisive and consistent. Unlike a lot of people I've known, he doesn't waffle. When he promises me he won't pressure me to wear a formal gown again, I believe him. We ride the rest of the way in silence, but the earlier tension is gone. The upscale restaurant our parents have chosen for brunch is lovely. White linen napkins fashioned into blooming flowers are center stage in the waiting place settings. Our table is next to the stone fireplace, which glows with burning embers. Ethan and Mom both stand to greet us. My mom looks gorgeous in a royal blue blouse and blue and green geometric print skirt. Ethan looks handsome in his signature weekend trousers and polo shirt. He's wearing his tortoiseshell glasses, which are his casual glasses. For court, he wears lightweight steel-framed ones that look serious and distinguished. When Ethan comes around the table to hug Shane, I can't help but compare them physically. I never think of Ethan as small. He's 5'9", but looks taller because he's real thin from his addiction to cardio. Shane, on the other hand, is 6'3" and made of solid muscle. He suddenly seems much bigger than Ethan. It's not just Shane's physique. His very presence dominates any space he occupies. Also, unlike his dad, Shane is never completely clean-shaven anymore, which makes him look rougher. My mom says hello to Shane and gives him a kiss on the cheek, which I think is more than she has done in the past 2 years. To his credit, Shane doesn't look surprised or pull back when she embraces him. As a precaution, I sit between my mom and Shane to act as a buffer. The two of them are mostly silent, which is fine, since Ethan and I can easily carry the conversation. I tell our parents about the preparations I'm doing for my presentation. For the internship letter, right? Now, who's this woman Ethan says you want to work for? Mom asks. Her name's Roxanne Keller. I started following her after I heard her on a podcast. Her background is in tech and finance, and she's amazing. The things I could learn from her, it'll be incredible. Realizing I'm doing a fangirl gush, I roll my eyes at myself with a small laugh. Getting the internship is a long shot, but I have to try. Honey, I'd be happy to take a look at a dry run of your presentation, Ethan says. That would be great. Mom, would you watch it too? I'm going to try a couple of different professional styles. I want to look good on stage. My mom's smile is worth its weight in gold as she nods. Ethan and I go on to talk about his cases, which quiets my mom because it's not as interesting to her as it is to me. I ask a lot of questions, but toward the end of the meal, Ethan glances around the table and looks abashed. Well, Ave, you and I should talk about this sometime when it's just the two of us, because I don't want to bore Shane and your mom. How about you, Shane? Fill us in on your life. How is school going? Fine, Shane says. Good, good. What plans do you have for winter break? Not sure yet. We should sort that out soon, Ethan says. We're going skiing during the break. But if you're not going to be with us, we'll have to figure out which day to come back to town so we can all be together for Christmas. We'll probably fly the 23rd.
Oh no, my mom says, her brows pinching together. That's right in the middle of the trip. And that would mean missing the New Year's Eve party. I already got my dress. Besides, Shane said he had other plans for break. I'm sure he's planning to spend Christmas with his other family. In Back Bay, I guess?
Shane leans back in his chair and looks at her for a moment. My shoulders tense.
I do plan to be with the Sullivan side of the family on Christmas Eve. But I'll spend Christmas with you guys, whether you're in Aspen or here.
Really?
Mom's brows draw together.
That would mean you'd have to fly alone on Christmas Day.
That wouldn't be great, would it? Avery can keep me company. I freeze. My mom's gaze darts to my face, which I'm sure looks stunned. Why would Avery do that?
She'd miss days of skiing before the holiday. And she'd be alone on Christmas Eve. No, Avery is flying with us. Right, Ave? Oh, boy. My gaze slides to Shane, wondering what he's playing at. He can't be planning to take me with him to a big gathering of his mom's family on Christmas Eve. So,